Exatamente, y es el existente en un país que por fuera comienza con fábricas de la región. So that we come together and deal with the business of the community led by two items. The one item is our consideration of the public service amendment bill, where we are going to, I'm not sure if the department and the public service commission are going to share the platform, but whatever arrangement is there, we are going to have what we refer to as hearing with the public service commission. We'll get to that. The second item is what we refer to as a round table. And I want to spend some time then trying to explain what it means and also put a request if it is to be accepted that we start with that item. And then we get to the bill. I think that is the item where we have extended invitation to all dependents and of other portfolio committees. When we look at that item on the page of the public service report, we took a decision earlier this year as the portfolio committee after our strategic planning session that we are going to approach the business of the committee somewhat different from just the normal sitting where we just have hearing, ask for the popularity, and stuff like that. So to them say we want to take forward what Parliament decided earlier in the year as it seems to change the culture of debate. They say So in other words, Parliament has decided on a theme to encourage a debate on issues. So we, as a committee, we then said we are going to organize what we refer to as round table sessions, where you then see on those issues that are not only the area of interest of this portfolio committee, you are going to arrange such that you extend the invitation to other committees so that we come to that meeting led by whoever will be leading the input on that item and then engage in this culture of debating issues. So that at the end of the day, we may then be able to then, as a committee, then decide if we want to present the report, which of course we will report to Parliament on such issues. And if a debate is to be taken, say, as an National Assembly, which means it will not be the responsibility of this committee only, but we are going to also involve other committees. Because for those issues, those are the issues that, according to us, are cross-cutting issues, and not only the life function activities of our portfolio committee, but it actually comes across. It is for that reason that today, an event that the Public Service Commission is going to table their report on the state of the public service. We will then say that report is not only meant for the Portfolio Committee on Public Service Administration. That report is meant for public service wide. And therefore, it will be critical that when we deal with that report, we then extend the invitation to all committees of Parliament so that they come in here. The Public Service Commission is going to lead the discussion at the table they are for. Lead the discussion, touch on some of the issues that maybe are the points of emphasis on their part that they would like us to look at. But also reflect on something, because the state of the public service report is something that is being done by the public service commission year in, year out. There may be issues that when you read the state of the public service report this year, you may even think that you are reading the state of the public service report of last year and the years before. I'm saying there may be, I know there are lawyers here, if you are not careful, I will use the people. question is, for how long are they going to be topical issues? Are going to be issues if you got capacity, for example, just an example. For how long are we then saying we are going to actually talk about them? Some people say if you talk about one thing time and again, and that it doesn't seem like you would one day put it behind you. They say you behave like a broken thing. And I think those are some of the issues we'll then see. When the Public Service Commission tables the report, they will be able to reflect on that. But this report is talking to us who are not just a passive observer. This report is talking to us. We are active observers. We know what's going on around us. We may be able to engage. So the kind of approach at a meeting like this, and when we deal with that item, is that of being highly interactive. Let's share our views, let's comment on whatever, let's talk about this thing. The debate is not meant to just be for today on the talk. The debate is meant to be carried over. This thing of the Public Service Report is not just a thing of now and no more tomorrow. It's something that we need to then engage on and we have to be guiding even our activities. We might have to even consider a possibility of reviewing our committee if the state of the Public Service Report will suggest that there are some areas that need to be given a more emphasis on. So that is why we then send a crop and we then extend the invitation so that we'll come and talk about it. I'm talking about the two people, those are the only members of the other portfolio committees that are present here. I know there was time to think of who would be as to how we go about considering this report. So that is the thing, and I want to suggest, having stated what we mean by a round table discussion, I want to say that I am putting a humble request. I know there may be those who have flight arrangements. They were looking at the attending the first item and then decide to attend to other pressing duties. But I want to suggest that it is possible, let's start with that item. Because much as we may not say entirely that the members of other portfolio committees may not necessarily say they don't have interest on the first item on the page, but their particular interest and for the people of their invitation, they were actually supposed to be concentrating on the issue of the round table on the issue of the public service. So my request that we agree to that is that let's just start down and living in a democratic society. Feels that you suppose that you accept. So if I start in a way to say yes, we have accepted. Now I agree. Fine. Now then that is going to be our first item. And I think now we are so comfortable now we could even begin by introducing ourselves and then I'll hand over to Professor Sangweni to lead us in that item. But just for introduction, in case we happen not to be very familiar with all the pages, I'm Richard Maloye, member of the committee.
I'm Jane Matomela, member of the committee. Manana Sachi, member of the committee.
Richard Kakane, member of the committee.
I'm
going to go down to heaven.
Thank you.
is the range of the DTSA?
Ben Slavoni, Public Service Commission.
Johnny Edison, Public Service Commission.
Norman Maharaj, Public Service
PNG.
Also a contract. four shells from the upper system, three longer that kind of stretch normal. That's the quantity which we are looking at. This is the point of the back call upon our district general offer to give us the information of our
they Some framework has been established to promote the strong culture of equity in the command of the government, that, that the state commands, the amount of the government and the public service commands, the way those resources are spent and intent in a very strong way on the economy. The youth division means the youth economy can be effective, the resources can be covered in the strategy that to promote development and to the world of what we need. With this in mind, what we do here is look at the allocation of resources in terms of the budget of the public service to show that over 50% of the allocated expenses are spent on social services, the lion's share of which goes to education, 5.6% of education is a very important aspect of development. Such allocation increases are connected with, but we go back to the point that you made, that it's not just about the amount that is being spent, but what we need to look at is the capacity of the public service to spend that money in a strategic way in order to achieve development of the community. The money is allocated, but it's not just spent, then it becomes a problem. That's why we need to understand. And we know this with the that in terms of procedure level, if you look at the financial year 2004-2005, you saw a decrease in understanding at procedure level. But you cannot say the same thing at procedure or national level, where we go in from 0.9% to 1.5% in the year 2004-2005. And other than understanding, there is also a concern in terms of the way in which the money is spent, where, for example, some that has been called by some commentators, the money spike, that you have a lot of governmental funds being spent during the last month of the financial year in March. In some cases, it's not necessarily the last month of the financial year, but the last month of the financial year, so the last quarter, for example. We give examples in the report where you have a department where 2 years in a row, over 40% of the budget is spent in March. And another great concern about whether that spending would have been really that efficient impact on the development of the country. Over and above that, you also look at the issue of unauthorized regular reserve and wasteful expenditure, and those issues are concerns that 2,250 million for the financial year 2005-6 was actually spent in this manner to unauthorized reserves and wasteful. These were actually linked 3 times more than the wasteful reserve expenditure for the 2004-5 financial year. Specifically, $110 million of that was comprised of expenditure. So on the one hand, while obviously that more and more money is being allocated for expenditure, the money is spent effectively. And so, looking at the public service, that is trying to make sure that the efficient economic effective spending of the expenditure of the system. Looking ahead, we talk about the concept of public debt. And the point we have made that the resources should be spent in such a manner that they create the public debt. This is a critical imperative for the public debt, because it is through the creation of public debt that will then contribute to our system of the standard and public debt life of the country. And part of that, what we need to do is to strike a balance when we report government is funding and optimize the use of the Russian property reduction program. I find that they require collaboration so that they, the program that needs to address a particular category of the community. And this is being implemented by Department A. Department B comes in that particular community as well to be aware of what else is done in that area, and so that the use of the resources by the different departments can be the same. Also that the collaboration is also extended to communities so that they can make it the process of the country. So that it's not just the same thing we are developing communities, the local from the that we were able to provide that they, the sense that they
bound framework to ensure that they start a company guiding, look at framework and look at the Act, look at the promotion of
that you're going to take to address
much more to exit growth in the participation of the community of the input, their framework that is seeing how the regulation should keep growth into that.
By the process.
that also that there's more transparency in the fire around the issue of public private sector companies. So that there is credibility and security that they control. And procurement is a very important aspect when we do that kind of growth and growth agents, but if you look at the growth and development program of government, if you look at aspects that the level of resources that we put in certain programs that will require
Also, by then having the diverse working together in the workplace. Thank you. you know, when they talk of departments not spent, now stuff comes into my mind. I think perhaps when departments spend in the last 4 months of the financial year, perhaps I think in mathematics they hold on with the money, not being sure whether they'll be able to complete that financial year with the amount they've got. So their calculation must be improved. Because if they can spend that within the last 3 months, then it's a problem. The other one is for when Professor Maria Tula answered or asked question, he must also give us an answer. You know, I saw these 4 million of 20 and over who have not been to school or received school in my, I don't know what that means at all. If it means they have not been to school at all, I'm asking Professor Mayasula to help us. What he has done on that, what are the plans to bring down this figure, and that would be a big relief to have. The last one, Professor Shambhini, you know, I've had members who are saying when they go for, they apply to departments or jobs or promotion with the SR. How to understand that the people are being the opportunity to reach the point where they are moving, that means they are not dropped with the receiving application. They are not dropped by individual support. Then they receive the same intermediate. They could end up being not a penalty for the guidelines to retain a certain member or members. Here are been unfairly well paid. So what do you provide for staff members who are absent?
Thank you, Chair. There are certain things that one has kept all of them. For example, like this question of fiscal dump. I mean, last year we were thinking about spending in March, you know, or the last quarter, which the Deputy General accurately described as being like a poor financial planning. We've seen the notion of policy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, point to find out is this: in that framework, there is a mandatory section, and there is that section which is optional, which the head of the executive authority may, which is optional, and that is now what you have described as the 360 degree, which in my view describes the core competence which inner management must have, among others, financial management, human resource management and development, strategic management, change management. These are core competencies. Now, in evaluating S&S, that has been made optional. And in my view, that was supposed to be mandatory. Because the whole framework is not just a punitive or simple accountability purpose, but it also serves for development purposes. And those performance agreements also have a component where actually there are certain weaknesses, it forces them to come up with a developmental plan. Now, I want to find out from you that of those departments which have actually complied to be evaluated by the participating commission, are there any departments which actually have also assessed this core competence? And if that has been done, is there any indication that plans were put in place so that the other developmental purposes of the whole project is actually in place to get a feedback that will actually improve? So that we don't have every year coming up, this and that and that and that and that. I think to me, if that is happening, it's not time that actually we should make mandatory. It should make mandatory. So that now, because to me that is core, especially the SMS, which is every person's level. Now, if now these core competencies like financial management, human resources, the whole systemic approach, as outlined there, can be addressed timely, I think we can move away, we can have a state of affairs where after instead of seeing 7%, then next year we go 11%. But if nothing was 7, you say it's 11, next year we have 16 or 3. Yet, that framework has got clear competence, which must be a must. In my view, I feel that component should be made compatible. And if in our role as
actually part of us as Parliament. And I'm hearing is that particular figure. The chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Education, but that is the committee of Parliament, not on the other side. Over to you, bro. But I'm not saying that you don't get answers, you may not have to comment on those, but I'll just read it this one. And the professor Devin, he started to say, when we came in around him, there's nothing like this. I'm talking about it. So if there are issues that you want to either in the form of comment or comment, right? So what happened?
Thank you, sir. I must appreciate your support. But I'm going to put my education gap in particular. I think that the report is more general. To me, I would appreciate this report or the sources. I'm particularly interested that there's a contract reference to the department of state. The fact that I contact us. Where is my education at? Let's say if I go to professor, whatever the slide, you can go to page 5, slide 3. Yeah, slide 3 is the first, only the writer of the extracted policy of high land. My question concerns that is education happens that I can take it up with my department. If you go to page 6, slide 26, there you are saying, wouldn't you go 5 to 6 to 7 that year? The majority is 6% of the market. As I need to remember, I can know what you are telling me. Where am I going? And then I'm saying, it's possible to spell out the which department and which bank. If I take you to page 7, the slide is 27. There it is saying, I just find that the commentary of annual report of the 9% of department is 90% of department certified today. I'm saying all those things, I'm going to ask you, where is my department that is? I can take you again to page 8, slide 22. There is a different question. It is slide 22, the second left. They are saying the management of sport performance are not received at good attention, and they are not in a final agreement in the whole managers accountable for feeding business from the village. I read it out of my principal in my school. Our principals were managers of schools, some they have managed this school for years. Year in, year out, the result is 20%, and we found that if we just change the management, we can get an improvement. I don't know where these mechanisms lie, whether my department is not using these. They are there because sometimes, I visited a school here, when they put a new principal in 2004, Max dumped it from 24% to 94 because the manager was able to manage. I'm saying, is there any mechanism somewhere that I can take an example and I'm going to be using it? If I go back to page 5 again, the paragraph 19, that's the same to that mechanism. And when I read that, I read it in three months long. I don't know whether this has to some government there. And when different systems say I don't want to move from counties to, I read city and then short of our base and the community to Western State this past week. Now, of the three reasons that it is there, the directors, they were saying all our high schools have computer labs. Had that even two computer labs. I really thought of my Eastern Cape office. I was saying this is though I'm in another country, not in South Africa. Because though the Eastern Cape, they are not complaining about computer labs. They are saying if I can only have one computer in my school. Which they tell me now, though we are one country, they find that there is difference. Who should do what is not just so so that people who are not saying don't want to leave. That is not theoretical, it's because there are differences in terms of who is supposed to do what in order. Let me answer the question. I don't know where what you are quoting, but I'm just saying when as a department you are saying we need to have no peaceful. It was a response to Section 39. Section 39 of our Constitution says three basic questions, grade R to grade 9. That's how we have here. But despite that, parents were allowed to start teaching. And again, those in fact were saying you cannot tell that she started at home. Hold the report, you know, say, if I have it. Quickly tell me, our education was not free in a sense because parents had free. Therefore, you cannot follow them and say, why is it not? When you take now the no free school program that we have, it is where we are saying, as a parent, pay nothing. That send your kids to school. Therefore, it is not whether you can go so far and take you on. Before that, you would have that kind of a problem. But now, with those three, snow is full. There is no parent who can have an excuse as to why that kid is not a good. Thank you.
Thank you,
Bob.
Thank you very much. Just a few worrying observations in the report. On the issue of understanding by National Department went up from an average of 0.9% in 2004-05 to 1.5% in 2005. Anyway, moreover, the amount of unauthorized expenditure has risen threefold. Maybe we can get comments on the and then on the insufficient compliance with regard to the financial interest of public servants. Worrying that only 66% of senior public service managers have disclosed their financial interest for the 2005 financial interest. You dare simply not declare your interest. See what happens. And then on the inability to impart information to citizens, I hope my figure is right here, that only 9% of departments comply with providing information to citizens on request. And then the report also stands for a lack of participation by citizens in the whole policy making process. And then on principle 3, that is on page 3, slide 12, bullet 2. That is on the issue of economic growth in recent years. What in the BSC's observation is the cause of poverty despite increased economic growth in recent years? And what would be your advice to government in this regard? Then, that's the last one, this round. On the bottom page of page 66 of
sector of HIV/AIDS is serious, particularly in the education sector, where a fifth of the staff is infected. Then 20% of the education sector staff is infected. This threatens the education system as a whole, which will impact on future productivity. Representativity targets have largely been met, but improving on the targets in any support and mainstreaming is a challenge. I don't think we have good enough this support on the whole issue of HIV. Thank you.
Checking the theme, promoting growth and development through an effective public sector. And going to principle number 5 and 9. What made me to have the serious interest, the manner in which growth and development is defined, that in whatever way you might want to look at it, as long as you will be improving the standard and equality of life of its citizens. That is very interesting. Then if you go to principle number 5, link it to the theme and the definition of growth and development, and you see that you have departments that are not complying to some of these policies. So my interest would be, what would be the TSC recommendation in dealing with such departments who are not complying with policies and guidelines for the promotion of public transportation? And if you go to this report, you'll understand there is even an example of a school where you have community that is involved in running the school, and that sense of ownership is there, everything is possible. But I'm using the rural village where I'm coming from, where we have entire people saying they are coming with a provision of water, there's no involvement of the people, to end up with things that are not even going to assist the community. The last one would be the one that is partly covered by Prof. Miles, where you are not specific. As members of parliament, you are coming from different provinces. And we are saying, in terms of making sure that we have women in that general position, some of the provinces are doing very well, but we have four that are not doing okay. Then I ask myself, if I go to my province, they'll tell us that, no, everything is fine, 800%. But just because the report is not specific, they might end up here on our way, something that is wrong. So one of those that I'm thinking is that maybe the specific will assist us to take it there that we can do that too.
Thank you very much. The committee for the wide range in question and the answer to this is one of three reasons. Also, as you very correctly said, my colleague here is not on the PSP, but also the PSA, those areas where there is a fundamental problem in the fact that there is no mechanism available to dispose of the committee and expect of how to carry forward the commission. So bringing the commission to make the commission for arriving for the find out the environment out there. That is our task. If this was that one that is used to me, then after that show, we are developed. But once made the letter situation, then it may appear that it will be passed. Who should then be able to run the recommendations. We can't say both finding the recommendations and also finding the mechanism for implementing them. I think in time we will make that spreading the process of the particular policy is a technical oversight but the political oversight to the rest. What I'm saying is that the committee should now revolution. Say, this revolution will take on this recommendation to everyone to ask the question, will they come forward to the people of the recommendation? But I think we really need to now pin it down to a point where you as the committee should be able to take a resolution based on this recommendation, this is what we as the committee should do. I feel at the level of your fundamental structure. Then this
just to matters debate on the HOD and the executive authority, as well as the panel, but to try to obtain information from other sources, and try to obtain information from other executive authorities, to try to obtain information from the peers of the head of the authority, to try to obtain information from the subordinates of the head of the department, so that that information can then be brought into the overall assessment process. That was the answer. So that was the optional answer. But the assessment of the competence, which in the performance management development system of head of department, of senior managers, uphold the core management criteria, here, financial management, people management, and leadership, customer orientation, all these competencies are excellent optional. Particularly for heads of department, they are compulsory that all of them should be included in their performance agreement, while for other senior managers, they can choose from the competencies that are contained in the senior management service handbook. For heads of department, all of them should be included. That all of them should be. It's also compulsory that all of them should be assessed. Now, the issue is if you look at lower levels of compliance with the requirements, that's where the challenge is. Not that it's not compulsory, but that even where it is compulsory, and senior managers, head of department have to be assessed against it. That poor levels of compliance with the requirements of the performance management leads to this kind of particular process. If you look at the requirement that heads of departments have to file their performance agreement with the Public Service Commission by the end of June each year, one of the things that we do when those performance agreements come to us is that we look at the contents of those performance agreements to establish the extent to which they comply with the requirements. For instance, they contain all those core competences that have been mentioned in the requirements. And if they have not been included, we then write back to both the MSD authority and the head of department to say, you know, the requirements that you should include all the competences in your performance agreement. Your agreement doesn't include some of them. These are the ones that have not been included and so on. So in terms of it being compulsory, that is what is provided for the performance management process. I think just a point in terms of the some of the issues raised by the honorable Professor Mayasola, just to indicate that
the chair for the board of this.
I don't think that's
competitive to question the way the PSC goes about their work, how their techniques and what they do. What we are here for, Mr. Chase, is to decide. They represent us with a report. And in this report, it's certain findings and recommendations. And I think that is what we are here for today. Not to question the PSC's way of working. I don't know, maybe?
I will. Thank you, sir. Your point of order is not that thank you, Chair. But just to also indicate that I think what we're trying to do with the state of the public service report, we're trying to look at the public service as a whole. We identify certain trends in the public service, and that's what we try to cover. So the extent to which we can cover specific departments becomes limited. In some instances, we do. I mean, for example, there's a point that was raised by the Honorable Yang in terms of the four provinces that are still left behind. In the report itself, there's a page that shows which national departments, which provinces, and so on. So that information can be obtained from the report. But in other instances, because it means that we will need to have a table for almost each and every finding that we talk about, it then becomes difficult because we're trying to make the report that we're much more manageable, accessible, and so on.
of the effective chance actually point to some of the other issues on the part of the Public Service Commission. I think one of the issues that keeps recurring is the concern around the declining number of HODs that are being evaluated. And I think while Professor Zongweni has quite clearly pointed out that the role of the Portfolio Committee needs to be much more active in this, I think from the Public Service Commission point of view, we also try to see how can we assist and increase the kind of compliance that is needed. And in this particular area, we've seen that quite clearly there's a different type of engagement that is needed. As we consistently see, the executing authorities need to initiate these processes. And there probably is something that is precluding or preventing or not allowing the kind of quick and proactive initiation that we want as a Public Service Commission. And in this respect, what is going to happen, and we hope in the very near future, there will be a roundtable engagement with executing authorities to assess how can the system best be improved. Because we must bear in mind where does it emanate from. It emanated from a request by the executive that the Public Service Commission assisted in this process. And therefore, I think it's important to engage with them to try and establish whether the kind of assistance they're getting maybe needs to be refined to some degree to heighten the kind of compliance we're talking about. Around the issue of underspending, and I think there were a number of questions that went to the issue around spending, underspending, overspending, unauthorized expenditure. I think if you look at the spending pattern, clearly what we're saying in our report, that poor planning is one of the factors, and definitely underperformance as well. It's not just about poor planning, but also situations where you have not met your objectives, and therefore you try to use your money on other programs, where during the passing of your budget vote was quite clearly that you had stipulated that you would use it for a specific program, and therefore if you haven't done that, you actually thought what was the initial intention and you move it for another program. And that in itself raises the question, was those funds voted for that particular reason, for that particular program? And I think what has been a positive move in this direction is that in terms of the performance management development system, what Cabinet has said is really that we, you as a head of department, as a director general, if you have materially overspent or underspent, you should not in that year be entitled to a performance bonus. Because this goes to the heart of the issue around one of your core competencies, which is financial management. So I hopefully that kind of punitive measure to some degree would give much more attention to the issue around underextending and overextenditure. I think we've also raised comments about recruitment and selection, and those queries have come through, and a specific question is, how do you ascertain that as a job applicant you get a right to be interviewed, or that you are not prevented from being interviewed because of what is happening through the process? I think the public service regulations are very clear in terms of the criteria that must be used around the procedure and process in dealing with applications from whether it's within the public service or outside of the public service. And I think this these kind of regulations must be supplemented within departments by recruitment and selection policies, which then are very clearly outline the procedures, they indicate the shortlisting criteria. But I think most importantly, if you still feel that you have been prejudiced in whatever way, you have access to the complaints and grievance procedure to address those complaints. And if you look at our the trends on grievances and the grievances that come to the Public Service Commission, I think people are potential job applicants are using this facility to complain, and we have on a number of occasions looked into and investigated the recruitment and selection processes. And I think in this way, it is a time of measure which prevents arbitrary appointments and recruitment. In the issue around poor performance, the Public Service Commission is about to release a report around poor performance. And really what we're saying, as managers, you want to be popular, and therefore when it comes to giving out bonuses and giving out merit unpopular managerial thought is not something that you kind of want to deal with. And this report will say that basically public service, South African public service managers are not taking up this issue as they should, and they are abdicating their responsibilities around dealing with the issue around poor performance. And I think the last question that I will take before I hand over is the issue around disability. And I think the member is right. This has been a recurring problem. But I think if you will recall, and you have been long enough to recall this, in our report in 2002, we had warned that unless the public service does something quite dramatic, you are going to land up in the situation you find yourself in today. So I don't want to say, yeah, you know, we told you so. But I think what I'm really saying is there hasn't been the kind of dramatic changes around policy, around infrastructure addressing that should see the situation change. But maybe differently to what we said in the past, what we are embarking on as a public service commission, and it will be done in this year, and to some extent I think we would want to invite people to be part of those hearings, but it's really hearings that will try to understand from the perspective of the people with disabilities and from the perspective of the managers that are asked to meet these problems, what really are the underlying causes? What are the problems that are preventing an increase in this particular number? So really it's about from both perspectives, because I think there is validity if you look on both perspectives as to why there are some of these difficulties. And they may not be as easy as addressing it through some through policy directives. I think we need to look at the situation much more closely.
Fine, thanks. That then concludes responses on our session during the first round of session. If ready, can we just take this honorable member who has raised questions, just for them to raise a question, the same question, and then come back to this one. The first one for me, please.
Thank you very, very much, Chair. I really appreciate it. Mr. Chair, if I look and I hear what the PSC is saying, that the report is sent to this committee today, then I think to myself, are we going to repeat and repeat every year the same thing over and over again? If I look at government got all the mechanisms in place to come up with a real and workable solutions to stop all these wrongdoings and all these shortcomings within the PSC's report. Mr. Chair, if you take me, for instance, there is this anti-corruption, National Anti-Corruption Forum, because there's a plan to stop conflict of interest, where there are frameworks and strategies for ensuring integrity, government, public service. There we see this in diesel. We got the PSC, I think, with one specific objective, and that is to see how we can curb all these wrongdoings within public service. And yes, and with all these mechanisms in place and all whatever we got in government, every year we repeat ourselves. The head of the department doesn't do their work properly. We doesn't look to the disabled people. Now, I want now to come in with Professor Tengwane. What he said about we need to change the committee from a portfolio committee to a standing committee. You know why? It's simple, because if you take all departments fall under public service administration. Now, if you take education, tomorrow you're going to speak to education. The next day you're going to speak to health. In the meantime, who are going to implement the code of conduct? That who are going to this provision we got to stop corruption within the public service, Mr. Chair. service delivery are better outside here for the people, for the poor people of this country. We are here to see that we receive poverty. We are here to better the lives of our people. I will put my head on the block in 4 months' time. One or other minister will come and he will say, I got a new place. So, we have all the visas, we got Batopinile, we got Japsas, we got all this train. But nothing is working until today. If it doesn't work in the 6 months' time, we change the name. We come with another place. It is time that we stop as government, as public service, and say, enough is enough. From now on, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're out. Because we want to see service delivered. It's not you sitting here and talking every day. 3 months ago, I sit in front of the PSC and they explain to me why the head of department doesn't perform their duties, why this and why that. And today I'm here again. And next week, next year, they're going to come with the same report and they're going to repeat themselves. There's no development in public service. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Pero le iba, no, or the spider and squirrel eggs are still not well. I don't know whether they are not being understood well or what is actually happening. So I would like to find out from them what is it that they are going to do. Because if people can get further, they can be perfect. They can be very, I think they can be less complaining to the public service.
Assessment of progress made in poverty. The problem that I have in that context is that we are designing programs around fighting poverty all the time, and yet we are so incoherent as to what poverty really means. And the Public Service Commission says that there is an investigation by President and that come up with a method for a definition of poverty. And what I'd like to know is when is that investigation going to be completed? Because as long as I don't understand what how poverty is meant, I can't see our program being effective. That is the first one. And the second one is around public participation. I see on page 5, it says only 21%. It's on page 5. 21% of departments have a public participation policy. And then this principle number 5, versus principle number 4, leading to budget also, becomes a problem. Especially as also acknowledged by the department that there are very big things to come. If you look at 2010 tenders that will be coming up and so on and so on, if we do have heads of department or departments who are not fully apprised about the application of FASA, we may run into serious difficulties. I think in 2005, this very same committee raised the issue, the concern around heads of department who do not understand FASA. In fact, I think I request themselves that all heads of departments be apprised as to the workings of FASA. And I think there was also a presentation made some time ago to the committee. I don't know whether it was made to the department, but I think it's very important that all heads of departments be apprised about the workings of FASA and their take on them.
On the state of our public service, and we have what we need to achieve.
other thing, I don't know, I have heard a report as to why on the night, I think, like they talk about the increase in poor assembly by the national department. Why is that happening? Has there been any investigation why there is an improvement in assembly in the province, but yet the other ground, the national department, is not there? Secondly, the question of, you know, fiscal dumping on slide 10. Has there been any, you know, an investigation into the extent to which this issue is not just about poor fiscal planning, but also leads to fraud and corruption? If the finances of state are suddenly spent during the last 3 months of the, you know, of the financial year, but also it could just as well be linked to the reason why some officials might be reluctant to declare their interest. You know, could there be a further investigation? All of those. The temperament of heads of department or senior management is a bit of a worry, because it picks up down. Therefore, of their evaluation, it comes down to lack of evaluation of the frontline personnel. And if their weakness is up there, then you can easily explain why in some areas they lack of credit delivery. And I think we need to really look into that. That issue has been with us for quite some time. Obviously, this leads to questions of capacity, the number of vacancies in line of the departure of teams personnel from the department to the private sector and so on and so forth. But I think there is a lot to work on, because as I say, it comes down to the evaluation of the performance of the frontline personnel. If you quote the question of, for instance, who are performing good in this instance, it then explains why, you know, principals are probably not evaluated. It explains why principals are not effectively evaluating their staff as well, because they see a long line of poor evaluation, right from the top down. That's one of the worrying issues for the skill development and retention, which I think we need to look at. But as I want to propose, that this issue might be better discussed when we have the law in place on a single public sector. This problem of, for instance, I'm making an example, seems not just being lost to the private sector and outside the country. Seems are being lost from one, say, from one municipality to another. Because one municipality is developing things, and once those things are developed, because they don't have enough resources to maintain a better salary, those things shift to a better paying municipality. The case in point is the trade
of the road traffic technology. In my constituency, we do have this type of problem. So I'm suggesting that we will not just apply to outside countries to the private sector, it's like from one, you know, state institution to another. So that is what we do. But I'm saying that maybe we need further discussion once we have a state institution public sector. But the PSC might have a thought about that issue. Just last interpret a comment or before that, I think also on the question of there being such large numbers of literate we need to go back to the customary in our standard program and other programs that are trying to address this question. I mean, 4 million people in Italy, 30 years down the line, is a number. But it says there's something wrong with our FAA investment program. But you must find that, but that's the second thing. You know, it has to be hard to continue that the GST, the coordination, you know, and I want to say that still we must commend the PSC for that. There's nothing wrong with the PSC teaching that in 2001, 2003, when they were doing this, 2003, 2004, and we are in 2007, we are seeing the same. That's what we say then. So that somebody finally listens and somebody eventually takes responsibility for correcting don't listen. If we are saying when they're been repeating these things time and again, we are then suggesting at some point we must silence them, and I think that would be wrong. Thank you for the shepherd.
Thank you, the silencing will be ruled out of order. The city of Habita is that our chamber that we go for.
Yeah, thanks. Just to follow up,
the city for the Department of Habita is for the urban parking lot.
Thanks. Just to follow up on some of I want to thank the commission for clarifying. I've read that within the context of the fact that performance management has the two main objectives, the development policy and the data competition. Now, within the context of development, I need to clarify. Now, I've heard that is actually a data component. Now, if now a performance agreement is given within the 3 months, those key or core competencies which actually the head of department has to indicate in his or her performance agreement, and as well as indicate if those competencies are lacking, then there must be a development plan so that now we can address those issues. So that now we are able to be proactive in addressing some of the weaknesses which
of the key concept that has actually been part of the performance agreement. And secondly, whether a developmental plan has been there. Because if that is done, I want to think that will be able to address the issue. I think that's the context in which I put the issue of capital availability. Yet there is an instrument to address that proactively. So that our only, we will not only concentrate on accountability or submitting, you know, efforts, but also the developmental aspect. Because that is the purpose of the whole issue. So if I can get clarity from those departments who have complied, then you see this aspect is incorporated and you see a developmental plan. So that we are more proactive in addressing these requirements.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, for this opportunity today to be here today to engage in a meeting like this. We appreciate this opportunity. And we would join the honorable members in commending the Commission for an outstanding report and the presentation. Also, for raising some of the key challenges which we confront as a nation and which we present to our public service institutions, including one of the most important priorities of the domestic policy, which the Commission has addressed in its report and which the honorable members have commented on, and which, of course, is the subject of ongoing work within the administrative apparatus as well as the executive, the social cluster. And I think the various recommendations made by the Commission hopefully will also feed into that process. Of course, the APRM, which we've all been involved in as well, has highlighted issues around poverty and the challenges of measurement and so on and so forth. Of course, what the honourable members have also highlighted is the whole challenges around compliance, which the State of the Public Service report that has been tabled again highlights as a major area of challenge. And in the next part of our meeting, we will be addressing both as the Public Service Commission and the CGSA our attempts to deal with this through the amendments to the legislation, and hopefully through the consensus that has been arrived at, we will ultimately come up with an amended piece of legislation which will enable all the role players, the department as an administrative apparatus of the state, the minister as the ultimate executive authority for that of the public administration, the Public Service Commission as the constitutional body assigned the responsibility for upholding constitutional values in public service and administration, and ultimately Parliament as the ultimate oversight body in these areas. The report also, of course, points to the challenge of reporting and accurate measurement. And just one suggestion which I think we should consider in this regard is on a major area of compliance which I think worries all of us, and I'm sure in the engagement which will take place following this part of the meeting, we would refer to the whole issue of the financial disclosures. So I think we all are very concerned with compliance. But just in terms of strengthening the rigor with which we measure, I do think we need to consider not only the number of SMS posts when measuring, but the number of SMS posts which are filled when measuring, which would really give us the true picture of the level of compliance. And I think we can do that quite easily. So, you know, in future, I think all of us, as we report on this issue, and I think we will address the compliance side of it in the later part of the meeting. I think we all are concerned about how to be concerned of that.
one of the suggestions within the Vancouver route, we will be introducing a compulsory PMA to the grade 4 SMS with the current batches. But what we also find in terms of the review process, specifically the PMBA system for SMS, is the whole issue that there's a really limited understanding of the difference between performance management and management of performance. And I think what the PMC is raising in a lot of the non-compliance issues is management of performance. So it's a whole systemic aspect in terms of organizational performance, management and governance issues, as well as financial performance, which constitutes the whole issue of management of performance. The performance management aspect is basically just the event in terms of the performance appraisal. So what we are actually doing in terms of the leading process is linking the whole system of the whole strategic planning framework together with the actual performance appraisal. We have to report back to the cabinet by July. But the other aspect that cabinet has requested us to do is to establish an HR learning network, which is done in CCSA. We're in the embryonic stages of getting the different departments, line departments together, because in terms of the aspect that was raised from one of the previous honorable speakers, is always a constitutional democracy. First, collaboration with the people that must do the compliance, then connecting with them, then coordinating them, and then we'll get the compliance. And therefore, we are hoping that through the whole learning network instrument, the vehicle, we will be able to get line departments